here on Pier 66. Ferry was actually leaving Seattle's Coleman dock when the passengers there say they saw this whale in front of the boat as it was traveling, say, about 17 miles per hour. It hit the whale. The animal dove back into the water, never to be seen again, at least up until this point. The captain apparently didn't realize it hit the whale, but passengers did alert the crew. No reports of any injuries to anybody on board the boat. Also, no damage to the boat, and it doesn't look like that ferry schedule was interrupted at all yesterday or today. Again, we are going to some media availability from Washington State Ferry, so maybe we'll get some more details on this. But there will be no more search for this whale. That much we can tell you. Guys, back to you.
All right, well, this is right where you can see the ferry terminals right out here with the gray water right now.
First of all, I just want to tell you what a great show you got. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you, thank you. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, did I tell you guys I got a goat?
But if you have this full investigation, 2 years long, and you haven't found in that investigation definitive proof to say we believe that the president obstructed justice, what would change, you know, after 2020 if the president were to lose? Would you all of a sudden find new evidence that would make the case easier to prove in a court of law? That seems really unlikely to me.
It is interesting, and you pointed this out, that they began this entire thing knowing or believing they were never going to charge the president with a federal crime.
As he was sitting in office.
Right, exactly. And I wonder, many of his critics probably didn't know that and were hoping for a charge of some kind, you know, result. So I think it'll be very interesting to see how Democrats react to this, because I would be thinking, in their minds, this fuels the call for impeachment.
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah, baby!
Well, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things happening in the world today. Most of them are far beyond our control, you might say. So perhaps it's time to take a pause and thought about life and thought about the laws of gravity, Mount Everest, whales, ferries, Mueller, the VA, politics, and or the news. Don't touch that dial. Just try to hear me out for a little while. There is so much news this morning, I hardly know where to begin. In fact, I have so much to do today, I hardly know where to begin. What else is new? Am I right? Here's how you get a hold of me. The text machine, area code 209-565-DAVE. That's also the voicemail machine, 209-565-3283. The email is dave@thedavebowmanshow.com. And, of course, you can get me on the web. Just use your preferred non-denominational web search browser to take you to The Dave Bowman Show, or to search for The Dave Bowman Show on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, not Spotify. You'll find us there, and we like hearing from you. Ego bibere capulis et olive verve. Drink coffee that others might live. Yeah, it's a crazy morning. I came that close to just tossing the whole thing and going, I don't want anything to do with this today. Just have too much to do. But then the news started breaking, and you know how it is. I got a lot to do today because of the VA issues. So, for those of you that have been keeping score with the VA thing, this is crazy. So, back in early May, I filed my claim in March. In early May, I had an appointment with my doctor, and I got a letter from the VA saying, we need you to release your medical records to us. So, I filled out all the paperwork that they wanted, two forms. Mailed it back to them, certified mail, so I'd know that they'd get it. And then the day after I mailed it, so I had this appointment the next day. It was like a Tuesday. And I had this appointment with my doctor to go over all my prescriptions, everything, get it all moved to the VA. And I get this phone call from the VA saying, so you have an appointment tomorrow, but you don't need to show up. I'm like, what? Time out, because something's confusing me here. Well, it turned out that they had made an appointment for me with another doctor for a medical review of my records, but they already had them. Her words, not mine. We already got all the information we need, so you don't actually need to go to that one. And then we got it clear that I still had my appointment with my doctor for, anyway, all that mess. A few days later, well, I get the letter about releasing my records. So I had sent all my records. I sent a 70-page package with all my medical records. And then I get the package, the letter saying, we want you to release your records. And then yesterday I get another email from them after they've gotten the release. I got another letter from them yesterday, which I managed to spill Gorilla Glue all over. saying, okay, great, we got the release. Thanks for that. We still need you to go get all your records. So now I get to go to my doctor's office, which is VA aside, my doctor's office is, I've been waiting since the 7th for two referrals that they can't seem to get right. So anyway, they're not any better at it. And so I got to go do that today. We got the grandkids today. It's a short day for school, and I just got a lot to do today, and it's confusing me. And it's sometimes I just sit here and I just kind of go into reset mode because I'm not sure what to do next. And so I have to make a list. Okay, I got to do this, this order, and then still got to get 10,000 steps in somehow or another today to try to battle this blood sugar thing, and we'll go from there, and we'll see what happens, and we'll see where it all ends up, I guess. And that's the problem with the whole thing. You know, the big difference between being in radio and being a podcaster and not radio anymore is that of immediacy. One of the things I disliked personally, but professionally I understood in radio was you had to form the instant opinion. You couldn't wait for facts. You couldn't wait for discussions. You couldn't wait for any of that stuff. You couldn't wait for anything. You had to be on it right then, and you had to have an opinion about something right then. So if something broke in the news, you had to be, you know, savvy enough, and you had to be on your toes enough to be able, and I enjoyed that, don't get me wrong, but it's not really how I like to function. I like to take my time and think about things before forming my opinion, I guess. I like to at least consider some things. I like to actually read the articles instead of just the headlines. I like to, if possible, talk to people. It's not that I don't have an opinion. I mean, I can see a news story and go, well, that's, I mean, I do that all the time. I call up my news app and I was like, okay, well, let's see what's in the news right now. Okay. So I'm calling up the news app. Let's see. First story, Mueller resigning, says he didn't determine if Trump committed a crime. Of course, I have an opinion about that. Boris Johnson favored to be Britain's next PM, face court for alleged Brexit lies. Opinion about that. I think Britain should have a PM named Boris. I think that'd be great. Let's see. Trump administration thinking about changing medical leave to reduce burdens on employers. Sorry. I've been an employer and I've been an employee, and I can tell you that while it was nice to have leave because of, you know, birth of my child, but and medical leave, it does create burdens. It does create problems if you're on the employer side. So it's got to be some. Anyway, you can go through the news and form instant opinions about things without actually having read anything other than the headlines. And that's great. And talk radio is, well, for the most part, that's what it does. And the more outrageous the opinion, the better it is. I mean, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get people spun up and you're trying to get people crazy about something. And then, you know, it doesn't really matter what it is. It could be as simple as a ferry, Washington State ferry, hitting a gray whale. This story is, you know, all over Seattle media today, and horrified onlookers. That's what I love is the headline. Horrified onlookers on the ferry when this ferry is pulling out of or into, and I'm not clear on whether it was leaving or coming in, to Coleman Dock there in Seattle, which is the famous Seattle ferry dock, which, listen, if you're coming to Washington and to Seattle for the summer for tourism purposes, I would strongly advise you to avoid Coleman Dock. It's under construction. It's been under construction for about 20 years, and they're nowhere near completing it. And so downtown Seattle is a traffic nightmare. I mean, those of you from the old Central Valley, you know, going to San Francisco and stuff to the Bay Area. I live literally as a crow flies. I live 16 miles from that dock. Okay. Literally 16 miles from there, but it takes a minimum of an hour and a half to get there, minimum. And that's assuming that you catch the ferry just as it's leaving and you don't have to wait. And Or because if you have to drive around, it's a 3-hour drive. I mean, it's ridiculous. And more likely, you're not going to catch a ferry that way. And when ferries are hitting gray whales, things really get slow. So this thing with the gray whale, of course, is the only bigger news story here in Seattle today than this gray whale being hit by the ferry is, of course, the Mueller the Mueller press conference, which up until 8:20 this morning was being breathlessly pitched to us as the biggest. I mean, this is it. This is it. This is when Mueller's going to come out and tell us that President Trump is a criminal. This is it. We can't wait. Just tune in. It's going to start right at 8 o'clock. We'll cover live coverage. Oh, by the way, ferry hit a whale, and this is tragic. And so when they weren't talking about what Mueller was going to say, they were telling us about this poor gray whale run over by a ferry doing 17 miles an hour near Coleman Dock. I'm assuming it was leaving because coming in, it wouldn't be going that fast. But horrified onlookers, the captain of the ferry didn't even notice. The passengers did. And all of the news people are quote-unquote avoiding the details because apparently this was pretty gory and the whale was pretty messed up. And the whale dove and disappeared and has never been seen again. And, of course, the announcement this morning was the search has been called off. The Coast Guard was searching for the whale. But that has been called off now. And they have decided they're not going to search for the whale, which they presume is dead. And they're not going to bother with this anymore. Now, why do I find this story so amazing? Well, if you happen to be, you know, hanging around on news and reading your news app and looking at things, you know, just stories that come and go in your news app every now and then. 4 days ago, there was this great story about spelling. No, I'm not kidding. And the Google Trends about which states can't spell which words, and so they Google what's being looked up. So, like in Georgia, it's beautiful. Texas is beautiful. Oklahoma, for some reason, is February. I have no idea why. Even as a native Coloradan, Oklahoman, I don't know why that is. In Colorado, it's favorite, which is bizarre to me. But if you look very closely up there, you'll notice that in Washington State, the number one word searched on Google for spelling is the word gray. Because is it G-R-E-Y or G-R-A-Y? And the answer is it can be both. It depends on whether you're American or British or you know, whether you're scheduling your look for words or whether you're scheduling your word look for words. It doesn't really matter. But in any particular case, my news department this morning my morning news that I watch actually had a debate over whether or not this gray whale is G-R-E-Y or G-R-A-Y, this now deceased whale that they can't find. Which is strange to me, but they assume the whale died, which means that it sank into the gray waters of Elliott Bay on the Puget Sound, right? The G-R-A-Y waters or G-R-E-Y waters, depending on which you prefer, and they can't find it. And I'm just thinking to myself, if I'm the Coast Guarders and I've been sent out to look for a whale that got hit by a ferry, which, by the way, didn't even slow down. The ferry didn't stop. The ferries had not been delayed. Nothing has gone wrong with the ferry system. So it's still going to take you at least an hour and a half to get from here to Seattle if you take the ferries, which is good news. I mean, if they had stopped for the whale, it could have taken 3-4 hours. At any rate, I'm pretty sure the Coast Guard. Look, I'm not criticizing them in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying that the whale search for the whale's remains probably wasn't. What's the word I'm looking for? Exhaustive. That's all. What I'm saying is it probably didn't, you know, really try that hard to find that G-R-E-A-E-Y whale or G-R-A-Y whale, whichever it might happen to be. The other big news story of the week, however, and this one, CNN is all over this. CNN sent some celebrity to the base camp at Mount Everest to see for herself if this was really true or not. I couldn't believe that when I read that story yesterday. Some actress that I'd never heard of. This Is Us is the show she's in, and I have no idea. I've never seen the show. Don't know who she is. Don't know anything about her. They flew her to base camp at Mount Everest to see for herself the conditions at the base camp, and she was appalled by the fact that the base camp at Mount Everest is, as you can probably guess at this particular point, the base camp is a freaking mess. It has been for years. Stay with me here. I know you're saying to yourself, Dave, what the hell does this have to do with anything? Stay with me. Mount Everest there in the background. That's the base camp at the base of Khumbu Falls. And it's a disaster. It's a mess. And you're seeing more and more articles about how Mount Everest is just being basically destroyed by all these people who are in this line of climbers. And I use the term somewhat loosely, climbing to the top of this thing, getting their selfie, having a glass of champagne at 32,000 feet in the air, and then 39,000 feet in the air, sorry, and then marching back down. And many of them, well, too many of them this year have died in the process. I think they've lost something like six or seven so far this climbing season, which normally runs May to June-ish. This is the peak climbing season right now for Mount Everest. And so they have these lines of people. I've seen pictures of the lines on Mount Everest of people waiting to get to the summit. And it's insane. And there are literally hundreds of people climbing Mount Everest every day now, which once upon a time was a very difficult thing. When I was a very young man, I met a guy who had climbed Mount Everest. He was fascinating. He talked to us for an hour and he had a slide presentation, and there must have been 100 pictures in this slide. And then later on, I would read books about Mallory's expedition to Mount Everest and this incredible journey that they'd taken. And this man's story was very similar to this. And they had taken the better part of a month to get from Kathmandu in Nepal to the base camp at Mount Everest, because they had to walk through these, and you think about this mountain climbing expedition and you're thinking about, snow and all that stuff, but they got to go through this jungle and everything else and these creeks and rivers and crocodiles and the whole nine yards. And it's this fantastic adventure. And they finally get to the base camp at Mount Everest there at Khumbu Falls, and then starts the real work. And they have to climb up Mount Everest a little ways. They have to climb up from, I think the base camp is at like 17,500 feet, and they have to climb up to 22,000 feet and then back. They have to stay there for a day and then come back down. And then they have to go up a little higher, stay for a little bit, and then come back down. And then they have to go higher and then come back down. And then they got to go all the way up to Camp 2. I don't remember the Camp 1 or Camp 2, but it's within summiting distance. I mean, you're right up there in the death zone, and then you have to stay there for a couple of days to get acclimated. Then you come back down and then you go back up again. And then if you're ready and if you're lucky, this guy was telling us, only 1 in 5 climbers in his group, and there were only like 20 of them, gets to actually try to summit the mountain. So of their group of 20, which 20 people who paid a buttload of money to make this trip of a lifetime, this 2-3 month long trip to Nepal, only 5 of them even got to attempt to top the mountain, and only one of them succeeded, him. He had 100 pictures at least of this incredible voyage that he had taken, this journey that he had taken from California to the top of Mount Everest, and pictures of this adventure that they'd had, and people that he'd meet, and kids that were laughing, and food that they'd had, and this just incredible trip that he'd had, this amazing voyage of a lifetime. One picture of him at the top, taken by somebody else. It's not even a selfie. It's just him standing there with his goggles on. He's the only one there with his Sherpa, and he's waving, and that's it. Back down they went, and coming down, as you may or may not know, is every bit as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than going up, because now you're tired and you still got to get back down to that camp that's in the death zone. And then you got to get all the way back down to 17,500 feet. And it's an adventure. And one of the things he said to us, and that has stuck with me for nearly 50 years, is he talked about how this was so difficult and so required so much of you. And I mean, not only did it require an investment, he saved for years to pay for the equipment and the travel time for this trip and things like that. It was somewhere, and this would have been obviously in the mid 70s when I heard this, but it's somewhere like $50,000-$60,000 that he saved and spent on this trip, learning to get ready and all that kind of stuff, and climbing this mountain and then getting home. And he mentioned the fact that, look, I was lucky. I was the one out of 20 that made it to the top. But he said, every one of those 20 climbers took the attitude of, every foot I go up Mount Everest, I get into a smaller and smaller group of human beings that have been to this place. It is a more and more exclusive club each step you take higher up that mountain. And by the time you get to the top, I guess when he had done it, there were less than 500 people that had actually managed to accomplish it since Edmund Hillary had done it. And he emphasized the fact that the journey was important. It was worthwhile. The learning, the things that you learn on the way to the top of Mount Everest were far more valuable than the thing you learned at the top of Mount Everest. It was an incredible story. And quite frankly, it inspired me. And I've talked about this, you know, John and I had a long conversation about this some years ago. It was something that I set my mind on doing right then. I wanted to climb Mount Everest. And I always took the attitude of, even if I don't make it to the top, I want to go. And there were a lot of reasons why I couldn't go. My eyes are problematic. Of course, I ended up having a lot of health problems, as you know, and things just did not work out for me to make that climb. And nowadays, what we see is this just ridiculous system whereby people helicopter into the base camp. They don't travel there. They helicopter in. They have basically spacesuits with their oxygen supplies and everything else. All of the handholds and all of the ropes and everything are permanently in place now. It's become less of an accomplishment of human ability than it has become a quick and easy thing to do to make your, you know, it's like summers in Rangoon, I guess. It's become this society thing as opposed to an actual challenge and an actual accomplishment anymore. And of course, because it's still dangerous, for God's sakes, it's the tallest mountain in the world, and it's freaking dangerous because there's no air there. People are dying, and now people are scratching their heads going, well, why isn't this working? Well, it's not working because you're trying to do it easy and fast, as opposed to taking your time and thinking about things. And this is kind of what I'm saying with regards to my position on forming opinions about things. This is the lesson for me of Mount Everest remains to this day. The fact that, okay, I can, you know, helicopter up halfway to the thing and, you know, jump on an assembly line thing with people pushing me to the top and go there. Boom, that's my opinion. Or I can spend some time working on it, thinking about it and enjoying the journey of getting there. And frankly, that's what I like to do. Maybe that makes me the weird guy. I don't know. Maybe that makes me different. I know what it does to me with regards to being on talk radio ever again. In talk radio, you can't do that. In talk radio, I should be screaming at you right now about how Mueller is a traitor and how there's no charge here. There's nothing going on. There's nothing happening. Well, I've spent 2 years thinking about this Robert Mueller investigation. And I knew this morning when the announcements came on my news station about breathless anticipation of the fact that Robert Mueller is about to talk about the investigation. This is it, folks. This is it. This is it. I started seeing posts. Here it comes. Mueller coming, yo. And I started laughing. I said, this is absurd. He's quitting today. I mean, that's all this is. This is an announcement of that. He's going to repeat everything that he said in the book, and he's going to say, let the book speak for itself, which is pretty much what it said. And of course, that has caused analysts to go into this. Well, he didn't say he wasn't guilty. I'd rather think about this than sit here and scream and yell at you, as many of the conservative talking heads will be doing today. I'm not saying Trump did anything. I'm not saying that at all. I believe from day one that there was no collusion. I have believed from day one that if we're really all that upset about foreign interference in elections, maybe we should stop doing it ourselves. But I also know that he's Donald Trump. And so is he as clean as the virginal Mary? No, but the myth in all of this, of course, is that Hillary Clinton would have somehow been better. That's the same people that want me to believe that men can be women just by saying I'm a woman want me to believe that Hillary Clinton would have been better than Donald Trump. And it's all fantasy, folks. That's the problem. I'd rather sit and think about it. I'd rather consider what he said. I'd rather analyze it. I'd rather think about it. I'd rather read about it. I'd rather consider all of those things than simply helicopter up to the top and go, here's my opinion. Boom. If you're going to climb it because it's there, take your time and enjoy the journey. Quit trying to do things quickly and easily because it just cheapens everything. Oh, and people get hurt and people die when you do that. How many people have been hurt, damaged, and destroyed by innuendo and discussion in this whole investigation that didn't need to be? Just something to think about on a very, very busy Wednesday as I get ready to head out the door. Hopefully tomorrow will be much calmer because it's Constitution Thursday. And I want to talk about something, again, sort of quasi-related to that. We're going to talk about bills of attainder coming up tomorrow on the show. I don't know what we're doing Friday in President Constitution, but we'll figure something out. Before then, I got a couple of days, right? And I'm sure I'm going to be hurrying up and waiting in some doctor's offices today, so give me a chance to do some reading along the way. All I'm saying, folks, is enjoy the journey. Quit trying to come to instantaneous things, decisions and opinions and all that. Consider things. Think. Don't just try to solve it all at once. It's not going to work. I got to get going. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life you love them very much. You'd miss them if they weren't there, so don't pass up those opportunities. You don't want to have that regret. Plausibly Live, I'm Dave Bowman, and this is my show, The Dave Bowman Show, right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. Check us out at thedavebowmanshow.com and on Facebook and Twitter. Please download us, like us, and share us. We'd greatly appreciate that. See you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.
Bowman Show is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. For more information or to complain about how the show offended you, the text or voicemail number is 209-565-DAVE. For more information about the show, log on to thedavebowmanshow.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.